Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Mem Podcast. I'm Demi Wright, and if you haven't already, don't forget to join us on Instagram for a weekly question of the week. This week, we have returning again is Dr. Beverly Chung. Hi, Bev.
Hi, Demi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Today, we're going to be talking about glaucoma. So glaucoma is one of the topics that could come up in the PACES station. So we're just going to have a quick run through of the topic to help those of you sitting PACES. So Bev, let's start. Can you just start off with the basics? So what is glaucoma?
So glaucoma is an optic neuropathy, usually characterized by chronic, progressive, and irreversible loss of optic nerve fibers. And this usually corresponds with visual field defects. So how I usually explain to patients is that glaucoma is when the pressure in the eye is too high and it damages the optic nerve. And when the optic nerve is actually damaged, the visual field is actually reduced, usually in the periphery first and then eventually centrally, resulting in almost like a tunnel vision in the late stages.
Okay. And there are different types, aren't there?
Yes.
How common are the different types?
So the two main umbrellas that glaucoma is divided into, it's usually chronic primary open angle glaucoma and the ocular emergency acute angle closure glaucoma. Usually open angle glaucoma is more common. And in the UK, about 480,000 people actually have primary open angle glaucoma. And one in 10 people over the age of 75 years old usually have primary open angle glaucoma.
Okay. And so what's the main difference between the two?
So as a general explanation, in an eye, there is a balance of production of aqueous fluid and a drainage of the fluid to maintain a healthy pressure in the eye so that it remains spherical. The angle is where the fluid in the eye is drained, and it's basically where the sclera, which is the white part of the eye, meets the clear part of the eye, which is the cornea. Now imagine this as a cross-section of this area, the angle of which determines how open the drainage pathway is. The larger the angle, the more drainage of the aqueous fluid, hence maintaining a healthier normal intraocular pressure. Now the opposite is true. The narrower the angle, the less it drains. Hence, there's a risk of the pressure being higher. And in even some cases, the angle can eventually close. And this results in no drainage of the aqueous fluid. And this in turn causes a sudden increase in the pressure in the eye. Now, when there is this sudden increase in pressure in the eye, this is the basis of ophthalmic emergency, which is acute angle closure glaucoma. In most cases of acute angle closure glaucoma, an important risk factor is that most of these patients are hyperopic, meaning that they're long-sighted. In long-sighted patients, these patients have shorter or smaller eyes, and that basically the front of the eye is more crowded. And as you can imagine, this results in narrow angles. And as these patients get older, the natural lens, which is right behind the iris, this gets bulkier and bulkier each year, almost like an onion where a layer is added each year as we get older. And at some point, it pushes forward and closes this drainage angle.
Okay. So that's the acute angle closure glaucoma physiology. So what happens in the open angle glaucoma?
So in the primary open angle glaucoma, this is very different. This is more like a chronic condition where there is just a general climbing of the pressure over a long period of time. Hence, most of these patients do not have any symptoms at all. They won't report any pain. They won't report any redness or any decrease in vision because of this gradual climbing of the pressure. Now, as I said, most of these patients would not even know that the pressure in the eye is high, as there are no symptoms in these early stages. It is only in the later stages where there is severe damage to the optic nerve. This would result in significant reduction in the visual field, where the patient would then notice that they're unable to see certain parts of their visual field. For example, say they won't be able to see objects in the periphery unless they actually turn their whole head towards it. And for the drivers out there, sometimes they won't even notice a cyclist or another car beside them until the cyclist or the car is right in front of them.
Right.
Now, okay. Yeah, so usually at this stage, there's already significant damage to the optic nerve.
Okay. So what actually causes that pressure to go up in the open angle glaucoma?
It's usually wear and tear. As we get older, because where the fluid drains out of the eye, it's it forms these cribriform areas called the trabecular meshwork. Over the years, debris will collect on it. We basically don't exactly know what is going on, but the theories do suggest that there are debris or blockages at these areas that prevents the natural draining of the fluid. So gradually it will build up.
Right. Okay. And so you mentioned a few of the typical features. So let's talk about the acute angle closure glaucoma to begin with. What kind of presentation would make you think that, okay, actually, I think this is acute angle closure glaucoma?
Okay. So with a primary open angle glaucoma, as I mentioned before, it's this gradual general kind of buildup of pressure. In the acute angle closure glaucoma, it's usually where there's no drainage of this aqueous fluid. And then because there's continuous production of this aqueous fluid, with this stoppage of any drainage, this will suddenly cause increase in the intraocular pressures, usually within hours. And this sudden increase in the intraocular pressures, this is what causes the pain, the redness, and the blurry vision. Usually, typically, the patients would complain about halos around the lights. And this is because of corneal edema, right? Because of this sudden increase in pressure in the eye, they usually complain about a headache or eye pain first, and headache on that side of the head, which is the same as the eye, and also nausea and vomiting. Usually on examination, the eye is injected. You can see across the room, the eye is red. The cornea is hazy. And most important sign that you can easily elicit, say in the clinic or in A&E, is you can use a torch, test the pupils. Typically, it's a sluggish, mid-dilated pupil. And as mentioned before, this is an ophthalmic emergency, and it is very important to try and get the pressures down as soon as we can. So normal intraocular pressures is between 10 and 21. And in cases of acute angle closure glaucoma, the pressures can go up to 60s or 70s, which you can see it's very, very high.
Yeah.
In A&E, they do have treatment options available, which first off, we should try to get the pressure down with IV acetazolamide, which is a carbonic anhydrase inhibitor. In addition, you can also use oral acetazolamide, but it takes a little bit longer. And also you can use topical intraocular pressure medications. And eventually, to decrease or to remove the risk totally, will remove the cataracts at a later stage. But most importantly, in A&E, try to get the pressures down.
Okay. So from a medical point of view, you know, making this diagnosis is going to be key in terms of, well, just keeping it in your differentials for someone that comes in with headache, nausea, vomiting. If they do have a red eye, this should, you know, really point everyone to thinking about glaucoma and making an urgent referral. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be, obviously, it's not going to be something that's going to be coming in a paces because this is, like you said, an ophthalmic emergency.
Yeah.
So in terms of the presentation for PACES, it's going to be more the chronic open angle glaucoma. So what sort of things will we see or what would we be asking or what would we be looking for in that sort of setting?
Okay, so in your station, you probably have a patient in front of you. First things first, history. You'd want to ask the age of the patient. As I mentioned, the primary open angle glaucoma is usually in the more elderly patients. Anybody after the age of probably 70, 75, we start to think about that. Ethnicity, you ask the patient, because in Africans, the patient would present younger and at higher pressures. And these are the patients that are a bit harder to control the pressures with, even with the drops, with the tablets, those kind of things. So it's very important to refer the patients as early as possible to the eye clinic, as we may need to do surgical intervention at an earlier date compared to Caucasian patients. And very important as well, family history. If you do have a patient with a family history of glaucoma, it's important to ask them for screening as well. The opticians nowadays are very good at screening. They have their glaucoma diagnostic tests in their offices, named the visual field and the imaging OCT nerve fiber layer. And they can also do pressure checks in their offices and be able to gross the report on the angles as well. So OSCE part of the examination, as we stated before, the most likely you won't have an angle closure in front of you sitting down because they're usually in pain. The they probably would give you a dilated patient, and it's basically just to look at the optic nerve findings. So things to look out for: cup to disc ratio. Normal cup to disc ratio is between 0.3, 0.4, healthy looking rim around. In patients with glaucoma, you might see a notch on the rim or a large cup to disc ratio, say 0.8, 0.9, thinning in areas, and also cup to disc asymmetry. If there's a difference about 0.2 in each of the eyes, say 0.3 in one eye and 0.5 or 0.6 in the other eye, those are suspicious looking optic nerves, right? So it's important to keep them in the clinic or refer them to the glaucoma clinic just to keep an eye on them.
Okay. And you had mentioned the normal intraocular pressure was 10 to 20. Is there a value above which that you'd say, okay, this person has glaucoma?
So we do take everything into consideration. We do take the family history, the examination of the optic nerve itself. Say in a patient with a pressure of 20, probably 22, which is kind of borderline where it's supposed to be at, and the cup to disc ratio looks normal, 0.3, we would probably just watch it, right? Mm-hmm. Say in a patient with 0.9 cup to disc ratios and the pressure is about 20, we'll still treat pressure, even though it's borderline, the disc is, it looks very suspicious of glaucoma, or it looks like it's almost severe glaucoma if it's 0.9 discs, right?
Yeah.
So we would try to bring the pressure down to a certain level. I would say probably mid-teens, but we do take everything into consideration for the management. Yeah.
So that sounds like you have like normal tensive glaucoma, is that?
Yeah. So there is a small class of patients that even though their pressures are normal within that 10 to 21 range, that's still a bit too high for that patient.
Yeah.
Right. So technically, we do not know exactly at what level of pressures it causes damage in. It depends on the patient, how their optic nerve looks. But there is that normal tension glaucoma class where we have to be very careful about not just to look at the pressures, but take everything into consideration before discharging them. See.
Okay. And so you had mentioned earlier as well about, you know, with the open angle that, you know, it's quite insidious in its onset and, you know, people tend not to even notice their increase in tunnel vision. So I guess DVLA would be one of the key things that would need to be mentioned in these OSCE stations as, you know, it's a matter of public safety.
Yes, that's true.
Is that something you routinely counsel your patients on?
We do. In our glaucoma clinic, any patient that we diagnose glaucoma where we start drops, we do tell the patient that it's their responsibility to tell the DVLA.
Okay. And so what's the mainstay of treatment?
So I mentioned the treatment for the acute angle closure glaucoma. So the whole point is to bring the pressures down as quick as possible. Now for the primary open angle glaucoma, we do need to bring the pressures down. It's not as urgent as acute angle closure glaucoma, but to preserve the optic nerve, the nerve fiber layer, we need to make sure that day to day the pressures are within normal range. And this is achieved by giving the patients drops. There are four classes of drops that we usually prescribe. Most of these either increase the aqueous humor outflow or decrease the aqueous humor production to try and maintain a healthy normal intraocular pressures. And in cases that where the pressures are still not lowering, if the patients are on 3 or 4 eye drops already, there are other options like oral carbonic anhydrase inhibitor, which is acetazolamide. But with these tablets, there are side effects. Most of it is gastric or neurological with tingling fingers and toes. Most patients do tolerate it, and it's fairly dose dependent as well. And if these don't work, we're going to have to move on to surgical intervention, mainly trabeculectomy or shunts, those kind of procedures that we'll do in our eye department.
Okay. All right. Well, that was extremely helpful, Bev. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, if you haven't already, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at mem.cast for our weekly question of the week. And if you do have any special requests, please do get in touch. See you next time.